Good morning again. I'm so glad you guys are here. I want you guys to do something with me. I just want you to take a deep breath. Whether you're at home, you're in the room, come on. You do that. Let's do it again. One more time. Here we go. If you're wearing a mask, I hope you brushed your teeth, or that was extremely uncomfortable. But I did that because can't we just say that we're glad that 2020 is behind us? You know, I think we're glad 2020 is over. It's been a crazy year, a weird year, but I just thought I'd say something really kind of scary and a little bit depressing to start us off this morning. We have no idea what 2021 is going to be like, right? I mean, let's be honest. We have no idea. If you think back to this time last year, none of us had heard of coronavirus or COVID. Nobody. If you think back to this time last year, the only time we heard the word quarantine was when we were watching some kind of apocalyptic movie blockbuster, right? That's the only time. If you think back to this time last year, mask wearing was only something you did at Halloween, right? I mean, the things that are commonplace and normal right now for us, we hadn't even heard of this time last year. So the truth of the matter is, we have no idea what 2021 will hold, right? We have no idea. But I think, regardless of what 2021 throws our way, there are some things that we can do to make the most of this coming year. And that's what I want to talk about today. I just want to give you some things that we can do, regardless of what comes our way this year, so that we can make the most of 2021. And I probably could list out, you know, 20 or 30 different things that we could do to make the most of this year, but we can't do 20 to 30 different things. In fact, y'all would stop listening after, you know, a few of those. And so I'm just going to give you five things today. Five things that I think that we can do to make the most of 2021. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, the list of the notes from today are on that. If you go to the events section, you can find the notes from today. I encourage you to maybe write some things down, take some notes as we talk about these things. And here's what's really cool about these five things. They're not restricted by COVID. I know COVID has kind of messed things up for a lot of people. We can participate and do all of the things we're going to talk about today, regardless of what COVID throws our way or what kind of restrictions come our way or anything like that. So here we go. We're going to dive in. First thing that you can do to make the most of 2021, and this shouldn't surprise you, read your Bible daily. I know some of you are shocked to hear me say that, but I want to read to you something David said in Psalm 119. That Psalm 119, the entire Psalms, the longest chapter in the entire Bible, the entire Psalm is all about God's word. But in verse 105, he says this, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." I love that verse. I memorized that when I was a little kid. "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." See, the Bible was, for David, was the guide for his life. And I think the same could be true for you and me, which is why I know you're going to be shocked to hear me say this. But the best habit you could ever develop is the habit of reading God's word on a daily basis. If you want to make the most of 2021, I think it starts with making a habit of reading God's word on a daily basis. See, we have an amazing gift when it comes to the Bible. We have God's word to us. It reveals who he is and what he's like and how we can know him and how he wants us to live. It's a love letter from the creator of the universe to us, his prized creation. It's the primary way God speaks to us. Some of you are like, "I've never had God speak to me." Well, it's probably because you're not reading the Bible enough, because the Bible is the primary way God speaks to us. He's just given us this incredible gift. And so why wouldn't we make this commitment to make reading the Bible daily a part of our 2021? I think we should, and I want to encourage you to do that. And here's how you can do it. It's real simple. We've talked about this before, but you just need to pick a time that works good for you. Just find a time. I think the morning is the best time, but pick a time that works for you. Pick a place that's distraction-free, even if it's your bathroom, whatever works for you that's distraction-free. You need to pick a place that works for you, and then pick a plan. Just find a manageable plan. Don't say, "You know what? I'm just gonna start at Genesis and I'm gonna read through the entire Bible," because that's gonna take a lot of discipline. And that's because you're gonna get to Leviticus and you're gonna be like, "Shoot me, somebody," you know? I mean, you're gonna get to Jeremiah. Liz is reading through Jeremiah right now, and it's like, oh my gosh, three chapters in Jeremiah a day. You know, it's challenging, right? It's a little bit difficult at times. Pick a manageable plan. If you need help finding a plan, I can help you with that. You can go to the YouVersion Bible app. There are a ton of plans there, but you need to find a manageable plan. So time, place, and plan, and do those things in order to make reading the Bible daily a habit for 2021. I think that if we're going to make the most of 2021, it starts with reading God's word daily. We have this amazing gift. God wants to speak to us, and he's given us his word to do that. So that's the first thing, read the Bible daily. Second thing, it's a little bit different, but prepare for worship weekly. Prepare for worship weekly. I really think that regular worship participation, participating in a corporate worship gathering, whether it's you're in the room with us or you're online engaging with us, I think that regular worship participation is essential to a healthy, growing relationship with God. You cannot have a healthy and growing relationship with God without regular participation in corporate worship. But let me ask you, what do you do to prepare for this time on Sunday when we gather for corporate worship? Do you do anything? Are there some rituals or some habits or maybe some routines that are a part of your week that help prepare you for Sunday worship? I think that we need to develop some of those. In fact, I was thinking a few weeks ago about all of the things that I do to prepare for Sunday morning. Now, I know I probably do more than you because this, you know, it's kind of my, as Gary says, I only work one day a week. So, you know, I have to do this. Shut up, Gary. I know what you're thinking. But what can you do to prepare for worship? I just thought I'd share with you some of the things that I do to prepare my heart and my mind and my spirit for worship on a weekly basis. I think you need to come up with your own plan. You need to have some things, but I thought I'd just share with you some of the things that I do. First, I make sure that I get up early enough to spend time with God, reading his word and praying before worship. And I know some of you are thinking, but it's the weekend. I get to sleep a little bit later on the weekend. I understand that. But we get to prepare ourselves. We have the opportunity to worship the creator of the universe. He allows us to come into his presence and worship him. Don't you think you could get up a little bit early to spend some time with him to prepare your hearts? I encourage you to do that. Another thing that I do, I always pray these certain scriptures every single week. These scriptures are related to what I do when I stand up to preach, but I just want to share with you some of the scriptures that I pray every week. First one comes out of Psalm 19. It says, "May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." I want the words that I speak and the thoughts that I think to be pleasing to God. This is a prayer that I pray. Let me show you another one out of Psalm 115. It says, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness." I don't want to get any glory from what happens on Sunday morning. I don't want you to get any glory with what happens on Sunday morning. The band doesn't want to get any glory for what happens on Sunday morning. We want God to get all the glory. And so I pray this, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory for your love, because of your love and your faithfulness." I pray this out of John 15, verse 5. Jesus said this, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." I love this verse. It reminds me that I'm useless apart from Jesus. That if I don't stay connected to the vine, I can do nothing. And following up from this verse, I pray the fruits of the Spirit, that God, you would just grow out of me love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. That those things would flow out of me. These are some verses that I use to kind of prepare myself. What verses do you need to use to kind of make a regular part of your prayer life on Sunday morning or maybe Saturday evening as you prepare yourself for worship? Here's the deal. You'll discover what those are as you read God's word on a daily basis. You know, they're connected, right? You'll discover some of those things. You'll come across a verse as you're reading the Bible this week and you'll be like, "Oh, I need to pray that every Sunday. I need to make that a regular part of my worship preparation." So prepare yourself for weekly worship. And I have to say this, if you've chosen to worship us online, if you're in the room, just wave at the people on the camera. They can't see you, but we'll just pretend they can. I think if you're worshiping online, it requires more preparation than if you're worshiping in the room. And the reason why is it's so easy to be distracted at home. There's so much else going on. You don't have other people encouraging you to kind of worship. So you need to go above and beyond in your preparation for worship if you are worshiping online. Just a little side note right there. But what if you were to make preparation for worship a weekly part of your life? I think that's how you can make the most of 2021. So read your Bible daily, prepare for worship monthly. Third thing, Third thing, here we go. Increase your gratitude. Increase your gratitude. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:18. He says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We've talked about this before. You want to know what God's will is for your life? Here it is. Give thanks in all circumstances. But notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say to give thanks for all circumstances. He says to give thanks in all circumstances. I think that's important. Why would Paul say that? I think it's because Paul knows that gratitude is so powerful. Gratitude is really the foundation of our relationship with God. Gratitude changes our outlook on life. Gratitude reminds us that God is in control and that every good and perfect gift comes from Him and that we can trust Him. Gratitude is one of the keys to peace and contentment. I think one of the reasons we struggle with stress and worry and discontentment and depression a lot of times is because we don't take time to express our gratitude and our thanksgiving to God. So let me ask you, how can you increase your gratitude this year? Liz and I were talking this past Thursday about all that we have to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. Even before I came up here to speak, as we were singing that last song, I just was reminded of how thankful I am that we have this venue, online venue for worship. Because, you know, so many of our church family doesn't feel comfortable coming to an in-person worship gathering right now, but they can be a part of our worship gathering because of our online setup, right? It's really something that we have to be thankful for. So let me ask you, what is it that you, or what do you have to be thankful for? How can you increase your gratitude this year? I'll just let you know, I make Thanksgiving a huge part of my time with God every morning. I spend a lot of time telling God thank you for so much stuff. The cup of coffee that I'm getting to drink right then, for the sleep or the lack of sleep that I had the night before, you know, just, and then just for some of you, not all of you, but some of you, I just spend some time, not you, because you're laughing too loud at that one. But how can you increase your gratitude this year? I think that we need to make Thanksgiving just a more prevalent part of our life in 2021. So read your Bible daily, prepare yourself for worship weekly, increase your gratitude. Here's the fourth thing I want to encourage you to do. Have a friend, be a friend. Have a friend, be a friend. Now, this is a weird phrase, but I came across this phrase in this book that I'm reading for school, and I just really, really loved it. Have a friend, be a friend. And the reason why I love this phrase so much is it reminds us of something that's true for every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter where we're from, no matter what our background is or whatever, that we were created for relationships. You realize that? You were created to have a relationship with God and a relationship with other people. You were never created to do life on your own. In fact, you cannot do the Christian life on your own. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We have to be in relationships with one another. So let me ask you, how can you have a friend and be a friend? How can you have a friend and be a friend? For many of you in our church family, that you live this out in hub groups. But it doesn't have to be hub groups where you live this out. You can figure it out for yourself. You're smart people, right? You can figure out how to have a friend and be a friend, how to be in community with other people, how to be in relationship with other people. But I do want to say something about hub groups, because we're getting ready to kick off hub groups for this next spring semester. And if you need to be a part of a group, please let me know. We can show you where those groups are. We want you to be in a group. But I came across this list of things that are benefits from being in a small group setting that I think is so applicable to our hub groups. One is you feel more connected to the church and to people and to God. If you want to feel more connected to our church, if you want to feel more connected with people, if you want to feel more connected with God, you need to be in a hub group. Another benefit is you spend more time in the Bible and you better understand it. One of the things I love about our groups is we just look through the stories or the passages that we're going to talk about on Sunday before we talk about them on Sunday, and you kind of immerse yourself in God's word with some other people, and as you discuss it, you understand it better. I know some of you are like, I can't read the Bible because I have no idea what it means. That's okay. That's one of the benefits of hub groups. It gives us an opportunity to understand God's word together. Here's another benefit of a hub group. You'll receive support from other believers. There are people in this church that want to support you. And that's a benefit. Another benefit, it's an excellent place to develop and practice your unique gifts. See, as we've talked about, God has uniquely gifted each one of us. And you can practice those gifts in your hub group. And then the last benefit is you'll grow in spiritual community. There's just something that happens. You grow together in your friendship with one another. So how can you have a friend and be a friend? I know of all the things that I'm suggesting, this one is the most challenging to do in our COVID culture. But here's what I know about you. You're smarter than you think you are. You can figure this out. You can figure out how to have a friend and be a friend. You can figure out how to make community a priority in your life in 2021. Figure it out. Have a friend, be a friend. And then the last thing, and this one's really kind of near and dear to my heart as well. Learn to feed your soul. Now, I know some of you read that and you're like, that sounds a little mystic, you know, that sounds a little out there. What do you mean by learning to feed your soul? Let me ask you a question. When is it that you feel closest to God? When is it that you feel closest to God? What are some things that you do, some activities or some situations that just fill you up spiritually? See, each of us has some things that we do, some activities that we participate in that fill us up spiritually. So when I talk about learning to feed your soul, what I'm talking about is incorporating more of those activities, more of those situations into our lives in 2021, that we would spend more time participating in those activities that we know make us feel closest to God, that we would do that more. For me, I've got some things that kind of feed my soul that I try to incorporate in my life on a regular basis. I like to listen and sing along with worship music when nobody else is around. Not because I'm such a bad singer, even though that's probably true, but there's a lack of inhibition when anybody else is around. That's something that feeds my soul. When I go for walks alone, that just feeds my soul. When I go for a walk with Liz, that feeds my relationship with Liz. But when I go for a walk alone, it feeds my soul. It feeds my relationship with God. When I get to share a meal with my family where the food's good and everybody's getting along, that feeds my soul. Now, if the food's bad and people don't get along, that's not so much, that drains my soul. But man, when we're sitting around laughing, we've had a lot of that over the break. It's been probably our best Christmas ever with our family. Just had a blast hanging out with my kids and laughing. They're pretty funny most of the time. But, that feeds my soul. Also, time in solitude and silence, that feeds my soul. I know this is weird, but this past week, the office was empty all week. And it was so great. No offense, Lisa and Jamie. You know, I love you guys, but it was so quiet here, and I could just breathe. You know, I was just in here with the squirrels running around in the attic. You know, that's all. It's just me and the squirrels. But you know, times silence and solitude, man, that feeds my soul. But what feeds your soul? What are some things that you do, some activities that you participate in that kind of fill you up spiritually? What if you were to learn how to feed your soul this year? So here's the list again. Read your Bible daily, prepare for worship weekly, increase your gratitude, have a friend, be a friend, and learn to feed your soul. I think that those five things, if we were to put those into practice, that regardless of what comes our way in 2021, it would allow us to make the most of this coming year. But let me tell you why these five things are so important to me and why I chose these five over anything else. Because there's a lot else I could have said. I believe with all of my heart that the most important thing in any of our lives is a relationship with God. That there's nothing else that's more important than a relationship with God. Like I said earlier, you were created to have a relationship with God. And God went to great lengths to have a relationship with you. He sent his son to die on a cross to take care of the sin problem that was separating us from him. Because the most important thing in life is a healthy and growing relationship with God. And the reason why that's so important is everything else in our life flows out of that. Everything else in our lives flows out of a healthy and growing relationship with God or an unhealthy and not growing relationship with God. Some of us have experienced that. And I know some of you think you're only saying this, Jonathan, because you're a pastor, you know, but let me just tell you, this has been true for me since sixth grade. I remember walking around on the playground at lunchtime at sixth grade, having conversations with God, and there was just something in me that knew that the most important thing in life was a relationship with God. And I've believed that since that time. And I think the same is true. The most important thing in any of our lives is this growing and healthy relationship with God. And I think that these five things can help us to have a growing and healthy relationship with God. These five things, I think, are actually essential to us having a growing and healthy relationship with God. I would go so far as to argue that if you're not doing these, you cannot have a growing and healthy relationship with God. And I want you to have a growing and healthy relationship with God. And let me just say this, if you're in the room or online and you don't have a relationship with God, it's so incredible that you can begin one at any time. Jesus just says, follow me. Follow me. And he made it possible through his death and his resurrection. And the invitation is available to everyone. And if you need to talk to someone about having a relationship with God, I would love to talk with you about that. I'm available because I think that a relationship with God is the most important thing in life. Now, I'm pretty sure that when it comes to this coming year, 2021, as the meme I saw on Facebook said, you know, if you thought 2020 was bad, it's about to turn 21. My kids will make fun of me for saying that later. But I think that there's going to be some good stuff that happens this year. There's probably going to be some bad stuff that happens this year. There's going to be some great things that go on this year. There's probably going to be some horrible things that go on this year. But regardless of what happens, regardless of what comes our way, I think we can make the most of this year by reading our Bible daily, by preparing ourselves for worship weekly, by increasing our gratitude, by having a friend and being a friend, and by learning to feed our soul. So here's your homework this week, whether you're in the room or you're online. When you look at this list, what do you need to do to make sure you're putting each one of these things into practice this year? What do you need to do so you can read your Bible daily? What do you need to do to prepare for worship weekly? How can you increase your gratitude? How can you have a friend and be a friend? And how can you learn to feed your soul this year? I want you to get to the end of 2021 and be able to look back, and regardless of what happened, to be able to say, you know what? My relationship with God is closer and stronger than it's ever been, and I'm more like Jesus than I've ever been. I think these are essential to making that happen. Let's pray. God, thank you for an opportunity to just talk about some basic things that we can do to make the most of this time that you've given us. We recognize and we admit and we just acknowledge before you that our lives are short and temporary and they're a vapor, really. And we want to make the most of this little bit of time that you've given us. And we know that in order for us to make the most of this time that you've given us, it starts with having a healthy and growing relationship with you. And that is what I want for everybody who's a part of Hub City Church. In fact, I want that for people who aren't part of Hub City Church. So would you just help us to do whatever it takes to grow in our relationship with you this year, to read our Bible daily, to prepare ourselves for worship, to increase our gratitude, to have a friend and to be a friend, and to learn whatever it takes to feed our soul so that we can look back over this past year and just express immense gratitude towards you because of how you've grown us and how you've changed us and how you've reshaped us into the image of your Son. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about this. I look forward to seeing what you're going to do in our lives this coming year. Give us the courage to do what it is that you're telling us to do. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to participate in sharing communion together. So if you're in the room, you can get your little communion cup out. If you're at home, I hope you have something that you can use to share communion with us. Because one thing that's really cool is that whether we're in the room or at home, when we're all doing this together, we're all united. We're all one. We're all gathering around this idea that Jesus died and rose from the dead. And that's what communion reminds us about, right? It's just bread and juice, but it's symbolic bread and juice. We've got the bread, which represents Jesus' body that was broken for us, that hung on a cross for us. We've got the juice, which represents his blood that was shed so that our sins could be forgiven. But before you take it, I want to invite you to do something to prepare yourself for this time. So why don't you just close your eyes and just spend a few minutes maybe confessing your sins and just acknowledging who Jesus is, the Son of God who died and rose from the dead. And then we'll take communion together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have each week to remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. And we just want to come to this time, well, first off, confessing our sins. And I know that we all struggle with different temptations and we are all guilty of different sins, but we just come to you the same way that that tax collector came to you and said, "Have mercy on me, O God, a sinner. Have mercy on us, O God, sinners." We just remember your sacrifice by taking communion, and we just tell you thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread and remember. And let's take the juice and remember. God, thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.